now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? You can't stop it, you can only hope to contain it. The fastest half-hour podcast in the West. This is Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you live and local from deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. I am your guide on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings, and welcome to the program. Yeah, so Mark McGivern, that's right, I'm calling you out. Dude's on a warpath against the Church of Christ over in Scotland. Did you see this? I know a lot of people, this made the rounds on Facebook early in the week. Texan Jared Blakeman, well-known and trusted face at Crichtonholm and Greenburn Schools. This, again, Mark McGivern, he writes for the Daily Record. Title of this article, Face-Painted Man Behind Extremist Agenda at Crichtonholm and Greenburn Schools. Yeah, and this guy writes all kinds of articles about this, about how parents there are upset about this. Horrified parents fear an extremist religious sect has been trying to brainwash their kids after it was allowed to infiltrate the Scots primary school. And there's a lot of sensationalistic type information to go along with this. A mum has told how leaders at the Church of Christ warned her she would spend eternity in hell for attending a service at another kirk. I guess that's Scottish for church. Anyway, she was disfellowshipped, it looks like. Just by the way, this is recorded here, reported. There's several articles on the Daily Record about this. Very upsetting, I know, to many parents. People know Jared Blakeman from here. He's an AIMer. Went through the Adventures in Mission program at SIBI, Sense International Bible Institute. He's in the Scotland, Team Scotland. Mr. McGivern takes offense about how Team Scotland views the country there. Only 700 of the population of 5.1 million are practicing Christians. Scotland is a spiritual wasteland. He inaccurately reports that the Church of Christ is headquartered out of the Deep South. No doubt another pejorative term to describe the churches down in the South. You might as well call it the Dirty South. You're going to call it the Deep South. He calls out one of the teachers who allowed Blakeman on and was actually helping to promote. They were handing out books, two books, to each student. One called Exposing the Myth of Evolution, another titled How Do You Know God is Real? And a couple of the parents, I guess, took offense at this. What else? Yeah, so extremist agenda, extremist religious sect. The picture that they use for Mr. Blakeman, Brother Blakeman, is one where he has his face painted like one of the characters from Pirates of the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, depending on how you pronounce that. By the way, we are told by the minister there in Scotland, Jared never showed up on campus with his face painted. Like, this was a funny thing he did. Posted the picture on Facebook, and Mr. McGivern and the rest of his ilk at the Daily Record, which, by the way, is a Scottish tabloid. That's what this is. This is tabloid journalism. So what do? They find this picture, sensationalize the story in order to try and sell newspapers. This is tabloid journalism at its best, or worst, of course, depending upon your perspective on this. Mr. McGivern, very judgmental, very intolerant in his attitude towards Christians. His reporting is absolute garbage. like how the Church of Christ is headquartered out of the Deep South. There's no official headquarters for the Church of Christ. Get your facts straight in the first place, Mr. McGivern. Especially before you go shooting your mouth off like this. I mean, what's... Again, just the picture, it's intended to make him look some kind of compromising picture in order to... you know, in order to make him out to be some kind of crazy extremist religious nut. That's what that's about. He never shows up in that kind of stuff, that get-up at the school. They're making it look like this is what he shows up every day. Every day he shows up in this crazy face-painted makeup stuff. It's tabloid journalism. McGivern, you're a tabloid journalist. Your stories are featured at the grocery store checkout lines. That's where your stories appear alongside how they found Bat Boy down in a cave in Guatemala, how Nostradamus has made all kinds of predictions, how there are all these UFO abduction stories. That's where your stories are headlined, Mr. McGivern. Thank you very much for your contribution to society. You're not a real journalist. You're a fake journalist with fake journalism, with hit pieces that try to sell papers. You try to sensationalize reality so just you could distort it so it can go viral and you can make a name for yourself. You pick on poor Mr. Jared Blakeman here, who has nothing but, no doubt, I'm sure, noble, pure, and sincere motives, and you make him out to be some kind of a bad guy. Why are we taking this guy as any kind of a real threat? The paper that he writes for probably has a full page spread on how they found Bat Boy down in Guatemala. And he's trying to make the Church of Christ out like it's some kind of extremist organization. We are allowing a tabloid journalist voice to ring out and not calling it for what it is. It's a sensationalistic smear campaign. That's what it is. And Mr. McGivern is just an intolerant person. He's bigoted against Christians. He's picking on a poor kid, poor Jared Blakeman over there. And you know, Brother Blakeman does happen to be a little overweight. McGivern, he's probably just picking on him because he's overweight. McGivern is bigoted against overweight people. That's what this is. Flash, this just in. Mr. McGivern is bigoted against overweight people. Yeah, I can do it too, Mr. McGivern. Yeah, I know. So that was my first reaction. Be angry and sin not, right? That's what we're supposed to be about. Put away anger. Because we're no good with it. We're no good with it. I'm trying to illustrate the absurdity of this story with absurdity. That's bottom line is, Mr. McGivern, no matter how intolerant, no matter how bigoted you may be against Christians, Christ still loves you. If you're listening, Jesus still loves you. He died for you. Okay? He died for your soul. That's a fact of history. No, it's an indisputable fact of history. Jesus died for Mr. McGivern, just like he died for the rest of the world. Died on a cross 2,000 years ago for you. And that's the message that these aimers, Mr. McGivern, are trying to spread. They're trying to spread the love of God. Not some kind of religious extremist type message. They're trying to explain that there is a God. He is alive. He sent his son to die 2,000 years ago on a cross so we might spend eternity and enjoy God forever. Maybe it's all just a gross misunderstanding, right? Maybe Mr. McGivern, he just doesn't know. He's just, this is a gross misunderstanding, but I'm wagering that this is a deliberate misrepresentation. It's a tabloid journalism outfit. Daily Record's a tabloid. I'm leaning toward the latter. This is a deliberate misrepresentation of what the aimers are trying to accomplish in Scotland. So let's move from overseas to right here on the home front. A 19-year Air Force veteran who was relieved of his duties because he disagreed with his openly gay commander over gay marriage is now facing a formal investigation after he told me his story. This is Todd Starnes, Todd's American Dispatch. This is on Fox News. Senior Master Sergeant Philip Monk found himself at odds with his Lackland Air Force Base commander after he objected to her plans to severely punish an instructor who had expressed religious objections to homosexuality. During the conversation, his commander ordered him to share his personal views on homosexuality. "I was relieved of my position because I don't agree with my commander's position on gay marriage," he told Mr. Starnes. "We've been told that if you publicly say that homosexuality is wrong, you are in violation of Air Force policy." She said she wanted a chaplain, but objected to one particular chaplain that she called a bigot because he preached that homosexuality is a sin, Monk said. After he was relieved of his duties, the Liberty Institute filed a religious discrimination complaint on his behalf. Air Force cracking down on Christians. That's the title of that article. Our own government seems to be tightening the noose around the necks of Christians in all of this. Let's go back overseas. You saw this, didn't you? You know all about Syria. We're going to go to war with Syria, according to our president. He's got to get a vote from Congress, but hey, he's an imperialist anyway. He's just going to push this thing through. Look, that's what's going to happen, okay? We're going to bomb Assad. That's what we're going to do. He said so in a speech the other night. Don't get mad at me, okay? Syrian rebels. This from USA Today, the Associated Press, Jamal Halabi. Syrian rebels seize control of Christian village. Did you see this earlier this week? Syrian rebels led by Al-Qaeda-linked fighters seize control of a prominently Christian village northeast of Damascus, sweeping into the mountainside sanctuary in heavy fighting overnight and forcing hundreds of residents to flee, activists and locals said Sunday. The article goes on at length here, and I'll post all these links to all these various stories on the website, and you can look them up yourself if you are so inclined to. This piece of the article stood out to me. A third resident reached by phone said he saw militants forcing some Christian residents to convert to Islam. "I saw the militants grabbing five villagers Wednesday and threatening them, either you convert to Islam or you will be beheaded." We're worried about some blowhard with a laptop over in Scotland. That wasn't nice, was it? But that's he's just blowing a lot of hot air. He's a tabloid journalist trying to sell papers. We're worried about that guy, and here are Christians being threatened to have their heads cut off if they don't convert to Islam over in Syria. Where's our president on this? I didn't hear anything in his speech the other night about this, but he must not have seen that story. Listen, the bottom line is, in all this stuff, God is in control. And if God can bring down the likes of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, if he can bring down the likes of a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes IV, check out my study in Daniel for more on him, bad, bad dude. If God can bring down the likes of Domitian, emperor of Rome, who's pictured as the beast in Revelation chapter 13, chapter 17, see my study earlier in the podcast about that as well. If God can take care of these tyrannical dictators, no problem. Then may I just ask, who is this tabloid journalist who dares darken the grocery store checkout lines with words without wisdom and understanding? You know, as Christians, though, we shouldn't be surprised at this stuff. Shouldn't be surprised that the Air Force is cracking down on Christians. Shouldn't be surprised that this tabloid sensationalist journalist over in Scotland is trying to smear a bunch of Christian kids over there, trying to do the Lord's work. We shouldn't be surprised at what's happening in Syria. No, I'm saying that because that's what Scripture says. Jesus said, John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." Brother Blakeman, you're in good company. Clyne Payton was declared persona non grata. What's the worst they can do to Brother Blakeman over there? Kick him out of the country? Like they did to Clyne Payton in Italy? Pretty good company. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Don't believe me? Look at Lady Gaga. Look at Miley Cyrus. I want to talk about of the world. The world loves them. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It hates us. It hates Christians. Darkness has always hated light. John, later in John 15, verses 23 through 25, whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and the Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Why do they hate Jared Blakeman over in Scotland? Because he was handing out books? Oh, it's religious propaganda. Those are their books. No different than any evolutionist propaganda that the school might be trying to push on these poor kids. John 16, verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering sacrifice to God. Again, what's happened to the folks over in Syria who are claiming the name of Christ? Threatened to have their heads cut off. And I'm sure those Al-Qaeda-linked rebels believe they're offering service to Allah. The hour is coming and is now. John 16, verse 33. In the world you will have tribulation, period. You will. Not, you guys, I don't really know. You might if you follow me, maybe. No, you will. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus says. John 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I told you earlier, don't be surprised. 1 John 3, verse 13. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All, not some, not a few, not most of them, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul's just saying amen to what Jesus said about having tribulation in this world. We will be persecuted. Psalm 37, verse 12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. Yeah, that sounds like Mr. McGivern over at the Daily Record in his tabloid journalism. Ah, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword, bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Jesus said, Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 10, 22, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Just before that, he says, you will be hated by all for my own name's sake. You're going to be hated. He warned us. He warned us. You know, being a Christian means being hated. You're going to be hated for Jesus' sake? Acts 14:22. When Paul and Barnabas are going back through after their first missionary journey, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2, for what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so you might follow in his steps. Later in 1 Peter, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. Beloved, Don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Jesus, for the name of Christ, like being called an extreme religion or extremist, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, know that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Can we connect Syria and Scotland and America? It's probably a very tenuous connection at best, but this stuff goes on all over the world. In some cases, it's probably more fiery, more intense than other places. After you've suffered a little while, the grace of the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's a promise that you can bank on. I think I've covered all of them. That's just a little bit of about persecution from the Bible. Listen, they did it to the first century church. Do not think it strange. Do not be surprised. This stuff happens all the time. In fact, there's one incident in the book of Acts. You remember this? Acts chapter 4. Isn't it there? No, it's chapter 5. Chapter 4 is a similar event. They're warned, you better not preach in Jesus' name anymore. And they lifted up their voices in prayer at the end of chapter 4. The end of chapter 5, they're actually beaten. Verse 40, when they had called in the apostles, they beat them, charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Brother Blakeman, those of you on Team Scotland, if you are within range of my voice, don't give up. Those of you over in Syria, if you are within hearing of my voice, if this is being translated so you can understand, don't give up. In fact, rejoice. Rejoice that you were counted worthy to be dishonored in such a way for the name of Christ. They're speaking evil, they're reviling, they're speaking in a way that they don't understand. Rejoice, my brethren. Easy for you to say over there in California, sitting there in the Central Valley, you're not having to... Listen, truth is truth. It doesn't change because of culture or circumstances. What's true here in California is true over in Syria, is true over in Scotland. Rejoice. Rejoice. Merced Church of Christ brings you this half hour, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to worship God, proclaiming His love and salvation in Christ, and to care for the lost and one another. In short, we want to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all toward a more united fellowship. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study every Wednesday at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples.
And now it's time for the question of the day.
Is belief in God necessary to go to heaven? Is belief in God necessary to go to heaven? That is a great question, and is asked in light of what came out here yesterday. from The Independent. Pope Francis assures atheists, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. In comments likely to enhance his progressive reputation, Pope Francis has written a long open letter to the founder of La Repubblica newspaper, stating that non-believers would be forgiven by God if they follow their conscience. Francis wrote, you ask me if the God of the Christians forgives those who don't believe and who don't seek the faith? I start by saying, and this is the fundamental thing, that God's mercy has no limits. If you go to him with a sincere and contrite heart, the issue for those who do not believe in God is to obey their conscience. Sin, even for those who have no faith, exists when people disobey their conscience. So that's what the Pope is saying. He says you don't have to have faith. You don't have to believe in God in order to go to heaven. Well, that's a bold position to take. What does the Bible say? What does God's Word have to say about this? Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please who? God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, here's the thing. I got to thinking, you know, that's my English Standard Version. You know, the Catholics, they have a different Bible. They have a few more books in their Bible than we do. So maybe their Bible reads a little different. I just so happen to have a Catholic edition of the Bible, New American Bible. Not to be confused with the New American Standard Bible, but this is the New American Bible. This is the official translation for all Catholics. And I just looked up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Maybe it reads a little different. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him who? God. For anyone who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So I'll just stay here in theirs. Without faith. In other words, if you don't have faith, if you don't believe in God, it's impossible to please him. Impossible to please him. Anyone, whether you're a theist or an atheist or somewhere in between, who approaches God must, that's an imperative, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. They have a little footnote here in the New American Bible for Hebrews 11, verse 6. One must believe not only that God exists, but that he is concerned about human conduct. The Old Testament defines folly as the denial of this truth, Psalm 52, verse 2, for another reference. So where does the Pope get off asking or saying that you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven? The Bible seems clear. I mean, the Bible assumes, takes for granted the existence of God. The question is, are we going to listen to the voice of the man of lawlessness, the Pope, or the voice of the Spirit of God? I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, search Facebook for the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page. Like us there. You get all the updates when I go live with a podcast, update the blog, or give a new video on the YouTube channel. Speaking of the YouTube channel, search YouTube for the Life from the Pulpit channel and subscribe to that. You'll see all the videos there for the Question of the Day segment. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N is a Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Don't forget the blog, lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store for the Life from the Pulpit podcast. You get all the episodes downloaded to your particular device. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there for you to use and peruse in everyday Bible study. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all, especially you in Scotland, you in Syria. Thanks for listening.